The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteousness shall be recompensed in the earth much more than the wicked and the sinner. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices he will be condemned. A man shall not be established in wickedness, but the poor, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. We just thank you, Lord, for the weather. Thank you for everyone here today, and we thank you for the health you've given us and the strength. And we just pray everyone to be attentive. We just ask you to be with Pastor Gosman as he brings a message. We just thank you for the songs we can sing proclaiming your birth and how we can have salvation through your name. We just thank you for all of the blessings you've bestowed upon us. And most of all, Lord, we just thank you for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I do want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. It's a great blessing to be here. And it's great to see some folks visiting with us today. We have the Hay family back here. It's Shirley's nephew's family. And we've been praying for them as is Brian, right? Brian's father passed away. That was Mac. And glad to have you folks with us here. And Also, Laura June, it's good to see you here, and just welcome each and every one of you with us today. I know Kelly has somebody, I think, is with her. Okay, her mom, Nancy. All right, it's good to have you as well. Thank you for being here, and everybody, and also people online. If we have anybody online with us, thank you for being there, and glad you could join us. All right, a few announcements here. We're having a potluck after the service this morning. If you would like to stay, you're welcome to. Again, if you're comfortable with that, I know not everybody is, and that's I understand that. But those that are, you're welcome to stay. And I've heard there's plenty of food down there. So even if you forgot and didn't bring any food, I think there's going to be plenty of it. And so that's great, and we can look forward to that. And then tonight, hope you'll come back tonight. Evening service tonight at 6:30. Join us again, and we'll come together, share some fellowship together. We'll be continuing on in Judges. We're looking at Gideon, finish out Gideon here tonight. And so I just invite you back tonight. This Wednesday is our prayer meeting, and we're kind of going back to that this Wednesday night. We finished out our seminar we did for 12 weeks Wednesday nights. And so just encourage you to partner in prayer with us. We're going to be upholding the needs of our church, and that's important. And we're also kind of making this a hybrid prayer meeting, and since we can do that now. And so if you'd like to join in by Skype, there's a link that's available right now. You can see it in your bulletin, but if you pull that up on your email, click that link, you can get that. You can get in, or by phone. I'll open that up as well. If anybody would like to join us by phone, you just need to let me know that you'd like to do that, and we'll bring you in by phone as well. So hope that we can just encourage the participation and just partner together at Wednesday at 7 o'clock for prayer. Then next Saturday, May 8th, is the Ladies and Girls Brunch. And so all ladies and girls, you're invited. That'll be here at the church. It'll be at 10 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet, so I just encourage you to go ahead and sign up, as this is kind of the last few days to do that. And the speaker is going to be Natalie Perkins. She's a wife of a missionary that's going to be with us. They're going to Papua New Guinea, and so she's going to be speaking to the ladies. And so just encourage you to be here, ladies and girls. So you can invite somebody to come with you. Just come yourself. Just encourage all of that. And just want to have the ladies and girls together on Saturday. And then next Sunday, the Perkins family will be with us. As I mentioned, they're headed to Papua New Guinea. And their family is planning to be here. They have four children. And Josh is a pilot. He's an aviator. He hopes to use that, I believe, on the mission field. And so he's going to be sharing that ministry and teaching. And preaching as well. He'll be teaching Sunday school next week and presenting their ministry, I believe, in the evening service. Then coming up on May 15th, there's a one-day youth camp event that's being planned at Panama Bible Camp, and that's for juniors and teens, all to the same day. They're just asking the churches to sign up as a church. So if any would like to go to that, you can let me know, or there is a form you can fill out and that just lets us know if there's anybody that would like to do that. The cost is $15 per person, and so just take note of that as well. Today is the 38th anniversary of our church. First Sunday in May was the time that the church first started meeting for services. Sunday services, and so that was 38 years ago. And so I've asked Pastor Gossman to bring the message this morning, so he'll be doing that. And they've also, either Pastor or Mrs. Gossman, or might have been a joint effort there, they've written a history of the church. And so that's in the bulletin. Just encourage you to read that. It's been brought up to date a little bit. I think it was done maybe 25th anniversary. There was a calendar that had the history, and then they kind of brought that up to date. And so that would be good for you to read. We did finish the Quieting a Noisy Soul program last Wednesday. And I just mentioned that that is available in the church library if anybody would like to borrow it. And if you missed some of the sessions, you can go back and get those. And there's the video DVDs or the audio as well. And so just encourage you, you can borrow that from the church library. Summertime's approaching, and we're thinking about a VBS of some sort, and just trying to see what staff we would have. There's a survey. Just encourage you to fill that out if you're available. We're kind of taking a survey of the best times and what we have, and it may just be, it will just be what we can do, hopefully, and so we'll try to adjust that as needed. And then also would mention again, summertime would be a good time for a baptismal service, as we don't have an indoor tank. When the weather's warmer, that's really the best time. And so if anybody, you'd say, you've trusted Jesus Christ, the next step would really to be baptized. And that's something we would encourage you to do. So I wanted to put that out there. And if you would let me know, or one of the elders, if you're interested in that, there would be an interview prior to that. And then as well, there's a Foundations Study Book 4 that goes over the ordinances. And just would really recommend that you go through that, just even yourself. That really kind of explains what baptism is and isn't. And that's important as well. Did get one question about, how long do you stay under the water? And so it's just one, two, up, just like that. And so it's not real long. And you could just hold your breath, and that would be fine. All right. I think that's all the announcements. So let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 113. Number 113, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
Scripture reading today for the message is going to be found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. And you can follow along in the back of your bulletin or read out of Scriptures, the text. So let's all stand in honor of God's Word. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll start at verse 9. It says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
And great salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently to prophesy of the grace that should come unto you.
Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now recorded unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
Wherefore, gird up loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conservation. Let's all read together on 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Lord bless his word. You may be seated.
Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for opening up a way for us to be reconciled to you through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the God of peace and that you have open that way of peace to us. And we thank you that you can impart peace to us, your children. We recognize we need that this morning. We come to you and ask you for it. We pray that for us as individuals, as homes and families here, as a church. We pray that for our country, our society, how much we need that. We look to you as the giver of peace. Father, we pray that you look upon this congregation here and meet the needs that are represented. We thank you that you know us. You know each one that's here. Nobody is hidden from your sight. And we pray that you administer your word here to us this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit would use it. We pray, Lord, for those who can't be here today, those that may be traveling, those who are sick, not able to come out. We pray that you would watch over them, bring them back to us again. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the 38 years that you've given to this assembly. And we look back on that and we give you the praise and glory for that. And we think of all the people that have come here and been a part of this assembly and those that have served here. We just thank you for bringing together those people. And we thank you for the gospel that has gone forth from here and the word that's been preached. And so we look to the future and we ask that you would guide us. Pray that you would continue to help us to be usable. We pray that we'd all see the part that we have in this church. Help us to see the need to serve one another, to serve the church. We thank you for the leaders that you've given to us, our elders, and we would pray for your special direction and wisdom as we seek to minister to this body and to lead this assembly. Father, we come before you again to honor you. We recognize that you are deserving of that, and we do that as we bring our gifts to you, our tithes and offerings. And again, we recognize you as the giver of all things that we have. You've given us our life even today. And so we come to give to you a portion of what you've given to us. And we do that with thankfulness and gratitude. And we pray that you would receive glory as we give today. Our Father, we think of those that have gone forth to minister your gospel. We pray for our missionaries and thank you for the partnership we have with them. And we would ask that you would sustain them and help them to have open doors and boldness. And we pray for their families. We ask that you would strengthen them. We pray, Lord, that you would help them to continue on in their work. Lord, we think of our mission field here in this community. We recognize the needs that are there. And we pray that you would use us. We pray that we would be able to be used and give us that boldness and help us to live in a way that would be a light to others. We pray also for our country this morning. Pray especially for our authorities. You've put these authorities over us, and so we pray for them today. We pray for our President, Joe Biden. We ask that you would give him wisdom, guide him. And we pray for his salvation. We ask that you would help him to truly understand the truth and to humble himself before you and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We pray for those that serve in the Congress and those that serve here in our community as our authorities. Think of our law enforcement. We pray for their protection as they are under special attack, it seems, in recent days and months. And so we lift them up to you. We pray for our military. We thank you for their service, and we pray the gospel would go forth among their ranks. And so we commit our country to you this morning. And Lord, we're thankful for this time that we have to worship you. And we pray that we'd be able to truly worship in spirit and in truth this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 229. Tell me the old, old story. Number 229, let's all stand as we sing.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be here and with you this morning. It's Pastor Howard asked me if I would give some history of the church this morning, and I thought rather than bore you with reading a long history, we would just put it in print and put it in your bulletin. And then I know you've come to hear the Word of God. We'd like to share some things, of course, about our assembly as we do that. But really, this that is here was printed, Mike Finneran saw that we had a anniversary calendar for our 25th anniversary, and I don't remember how much he and we did in that 25th one, but we put that was I took that and revised a little and then added our last but I think you'll find that interesting if you don't have one in your bulletin. There's some of those out there on the table there as well. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Mara Bible Church officially began holding services in 1983. We were there at the superintendent's home at Camp Peniel, where I was serving there as the superintendent. People often ask, why begin another church when there are multiple churches throughout the county? I picked up the Mara County Sentinel this week and tried to count all of the churches that are listed in there. And can you believe in our little county that it listed, and some of those are just outside the county, but there were about 90 churches listed. Did we need another church in the county? I'd like to answer that in part by looking into what is the Church of Jesus Christ and what are some of the things that the Lord has stipulated for His church, for His assembly. The first thing I'd like to look at is God calling out a people unto Himself. God calling out a people unto Himself. The word church is the Greek word ekklesia, which basically just means to call out. And so thus, the church of those would be the called out ones. God calls ones out to Himself. It's interesting, in John 6:44, it says, "No man can come unto Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." The true church, I'm not speaking specifically of our church, I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole assembly of believers. The church is not of man, but it's of God. It doesn't belong to any of us. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I can say I'm going to my church in the sense that I am coming together with the believers that I have chosen to meet together with. You might say, this is my church. But it does not belong to us. This is the church. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ as He is the head. The local church, as we have here, is only a representation of the true church when it is comprised of those who have been truly called out of God. The true church is made up of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, individuals who have been born again by the Spirit of God. He has called them out. He called us out. We believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as John 1:12 says, we become the sons of God. We become the children of God as we put our faith and our trust in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. And it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as it goes through there in that passage, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We in the church are part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the bride that is espoused to Christ. It's interesting that in 2 Corinthians 11:2, he says, Paul says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What a blessed thing it is when we've come to the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, that we have been espoused to Christ. What a tremendous blessing. You know, as I look at the first families that were here as the individuals here in Mara Bible Church, of course, there was my wife and I and our children. And it's nice to have one of those here this morning. And then there was Jim and Nancy Page that at the time lived there in Chesterville with their two children. We were the first, as you'll read in that come together in our assembly. There were some others that were there just for a very short time or visited, but ones that we could say that were part of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ were those that have put their faith and trust in Christ, born again by the Spirit of God. And so there, my wife and I and our family, Jim and Nancy Page, and then come Al and Marlene Ray, and then shortly thereafter, Vaughn and Donna Robinson, and ones that we would have still here today, as we think. Then Mickey DeWeese and her husband John came to Christ as their Savior, and then were attending the church. Visitors to a local church don't need to be saved. You don't have to be saved to come into the local church as far as to visit. But to be a member, certainly to be a member of the true church of Jesus Christ, and then it ought to be a member of a local assembly, that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That true church, yes, it's individuals born again by the Spirit of God and individuals dedicated to the cause of Christ. The body is to be dedicated to Christ. We are called to Him to be there in full allegiance. It's interesting, Jesus said I'm sorry for giving you all kinds of scriptures instead of sticking to one passage today, but this is a topical message and I need to do that. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And certainly Paul was a great example of that, as he gave up everything for Christ. Jesus had said, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. We're truly coming to Christ. We submit to Him, and we ought to have a desire to leave everything else aside. I think of two different men over the years that we've had opportunity to witness to that said something like this when I asked if they would put their faith and trust in Christ. And submit to Him. And two different men, two different situations, but said, there's something, one of them said, there's something that I love too much. Another basically said the same thing. One of them, in fact, as I was speaking to one that I thought was his wife and going through the gospel, he actually shared with her the particulars of what it means to come to Christ. And when I asked him if he had, he's the one who said no. I found out later it was because he didn't want to give up one that was not his wife. He just said it was like he couldn't share that love with he couldn't because of the love he had for his wife. Both of those men ended up losing those women in their life. How sad it is. You know, the Lord wants our all. The Lord says, love with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. As true believers of Christ, that should be the innermost desire of our hearts. And it should be that we're examining continually. Are we really loving the Lord as we are? But that's what should be part of the true church. Number two, God is calling His people to holiness. God, in His calling, He's calling His people to holiness. The passage that we read this morning in responsive reading, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the formal lusts and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, be ye holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We put our faith and trust in a holy God. He has called us. He has saved us from our sin. He has given us a new life. He's made us a new creation. So we are to live a life that is separate from sin. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, you need to sin. Don't sin. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not your sun go down on your wrath. Ephesians 4:26. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When we sin as a believer, before God, we need to recognize that, confess it to Him, turn from it. Thankfully, we have that relationship with our Savior, that He's there to forgive us and to cleanse us. That's to be the life of the believer. No, as long as we have this old nature, we do sin. Not that we don't have to sin. In fact, in Romans 6:6, it says, the old man is crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed. He says that we are dead, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We have the victory that's available for us there in Christ. And so as we confess our sin, as we turn from it, and we come to the Lord, we find that restored fellowship with Him, and He will give us the power. We have that because we're not... We are not made, and that passage in Romans 6 goes on to say, we're not to be the servant to sin, but we're to yield unto righteousness. So we are to be a people living in holiness because we're a new creature. We have new life. We're not after the flesh. We're not to live after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're not to follow the enemies that we have, the enemy of the world, the enemy of our flesh, or the enemy of the devil. We're to live separate from the world. 1 John 2:14. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're not to be a part of the world. The church, what is the testimony of the local church that is to be the representative of the body of Christ? Christ who is holy. How does the world see us? As we look at what has happened in many of the assemblies today is that they're letting the world define them. The world's music, its entertainment, its philosophies, even the definition today of who we all are, male and female, and some of those things that are so basic, yet churches are, the word today, I said a couple weeks ago, I don't really understand all of it, but the church is becoming woke. They're becoming that which is that as the world would define them. They're letting the world define them. We need to be living in obedience to a holy God, separated unto God. It's interesting that Philippians it says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him which have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, God called us to separate us unto holiness. And He says, you're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You know, we can come directly before the very throne of God because of the position that we have in Christ. Access. We don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to come to the preacher to be able to come to God. You can come directly before the throne of grace because we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That should be the testimony of the local church. A holy nation. A holy people called out of darkness. He says, in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Before you came to Christ, you were not a people of God. Scripture says, even as the Lord Jesus talked to some that looked like very religious people, He said, you're of your father the devil. But when you come to Christ, you become a people of God, which you hadn't obtained mercy before, but now you've obtained mercy. What a blessing it is to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be part of the body of Christ, and to even be called that we are the bride of Christ. He's called us unto holiness. You know, we think of Abraham in the Old Testament. You know what God desired? He desired that there would be a people that would be called after His name. And so He called Abraham. Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham who came from a family of idolaters. And he wanted to have a people unto himself. And he called them out. He called them out. And that's the history of what God desired for the Jewish nation. Today, he has the church, which is his own body, which is called out to holiness. Separate unto, you know, what a blessing it was for Israel when they had such a testimony that God was working for them, and they were a people that were separate. And then how they lost that testimony as they followed the gods of the world, and they went after, and they followed after the lusts of their own flesh. I'm afraid that's what's happened in many assemblies, is leaving that from which they have been called. Holiness involves separation. Separation unto God. Separation from all that is against God. God desires those that are part of of the assembly of believers, that we are known to be separated from all that is against Him. Separated from the evil that is around us. Not just that we're a people that's separated on Sunday, live like the world the rest of the week. We're to be a people that are ambassadors for Christ, that are showing that separation. And even in our own organization as a local assembly, and one of the things that has set us apart from even some congregations with which would maybe preach the gospel of Christ, yet at the same time are associating with unbelieving churches. I remember when we first moved here to this from the camp here to the church, had a local pastor of the Methodist Church in Sparta that came to me and wanted to do something together with our young people. What I knew of this man was that he was a true believer in Christ, because he was. I heard from what he was leading others to the Lord, but I said to him, I said, you're part of an organization that has basically left the faith, that don't believe in the basic fundamentals of the faith. And I said, I can't associate our assembly with yours by having us come together, because even though, from what I understand of you, you're a believer, but yet the organization that you're in, it would show other people that you're the same as them. That's why in our Constitution, if you read through our Constitution, we have a section on associations. And it says this, along with a number of scriptures supporting those statements, but it says, we believe that the church should not associate its name by giving support of any kind with any who do not believe and obey the Word of God. And then a second statement, or with any who maintain supportive connections with any who do not believe and obey the Word of God. That was one of the reasons that our church was formed back in 1983. Was because of having to come out of a local assembly that had, by their own stated vote and determination, that they would not separate from believers who were a part of working with unbelievers. They were mixing unbelief with belief. You see, God has called out a people to holiness. And we cannot associate to where people think, well, all churches are alike. You're just a little different than that church down the road. It's too bad that is not the case. I had a man that I had the privilege of, after some time, leading to the Lord, a man over in Fredericktown. Here's a man that had been a part. He had been a member of the Presbyterian Church there in Fredericktown. His partnered his life. It was a family church. He'd been a Sunday school teacher for many years in that assembly. But as I talked to him and we had witnessed to him, I found that he'd never really submitted to Jesus Christ. He'd never really trusted in Christ. And it was interesting that there, and they'd asked me to have his funeral. I had the opportunity there to declare to those folks this man's, how he came to saving faith, even though he'd been a religious man all of his life. It was sad that one come up to me afterwards and said, I don't know who you are, but I haven't heard anything like that in years. Churches have left the faith. They've left the doctrines of Jesus Christ, whereby men are truly saved and born again and become a part of that, of the local assembly. So God has called His people to holiness. Are we committed to that? As believers in Jesus Christ, are we committed to holiness in our life? To take things out of our life that is anything that is against our God, that is against the things that from which we profess? Number three, God is calling His people to serve together. You know, in Romans 10:24, he says, let us consider one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. God's called us not just to be separate believers, as a separate, yes, we're a part of the true church of Jesus Christ, but He's called us to be a part of a local true assembly. He's called us to the church. I'm afraid we live, and you'll find those all around you that have given up on the church. And some reason you could maybe see why, because of where maybe their home church went and how they've left the faith. But we recognized in the beginning of Mara Bible Church that God has called us to meet together as an assembly of believers. And he says, don't forsake that assembling together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about how we each one individually have gifts that God has given. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've been indwelt by the Spirit of God, we're let known by God that we have been gifted by Him. Different gifts, different things that we can do. But every believer needs to be. And he tells us, and you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it talks about how we're part of a body, and how every part of the body is important. The little finger is important as well as the head. The feet are important. Your toes are important. Everything, that's like in the body of Christ. Everyone that's a believer has a part. And we need to be coming together and we need to be exercising those gifts that God has given to us. You know, this church success, the reason we're here and able to be here together 38 years later, is because of those that would give and work together for the cause of Christ. It's not because of Pastor Gossman. It's because of individual believers that would work and labor together and give. Teaching, cleaning, music, giving. Working together. Part of a body. There's that passage in Romans says, when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. When you're part of an assembly and you don't exercise that which God has given it, it cripples the church. Yes, we are to use those gifts together. Of course, Matthew 28 gives us, we all have the responsibility of evangelism. Going out and proclaiming the gospel of Christ. That's not just the pastor's duty. That's each of our duty. That's telling others about Christ and spreading the gospel of Christ. One of the things some people don't like, you've heard it said, I don't submit to anybody. But you know, God ordained that there should be a church structure. I've heard many people say, I don't believe in the church. I don't believe in the organized church. It's interesting that in Hebrews 13:17, he says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, as they must do it with joy and not with grief, and that is unprofitable for you. He's saying there there's a place for an authority structure. It's for our protection. It's those that must give an account for our souls. Now, if you have those in the authority structure of a local assembly that don't care for your souls and are just out for themselves, you better find another assembly. But don't just forget it. Because God has ordained for our protection, as well as for our nourishment, that we have the local assembly. When the local church was begun, they found out that they needed those to take the place of caring for the physical things, so that the pastor would have the time to spend himself in the Word and in prayer. But it just shows the place that God has given for the assembly, as well as, you know, I spoke of the holiness that God has called us to. We have a responsibility, recognizing that the church is supposed to be a place for truth. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says this, but if I tarry long that thou mayest know how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God, and there we see the church working together in the assembly, how you behave yourself in the house of God among the assembly. Then he says this, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. God has designed the church to be a place to preserve the truth. That's why we have to separate from evil. That's why we have to separate from associations with those that are mixing truth and error together, so that people can come and hear the truth. You know, there there aren't too many places today where people can actually come into the local assembly and really hear the Word of God opened and expounded, where they hear the truth. If the church is going to remain that way, if this church is going to remain that way, how we need to see that preservation of holiness as God has called us to there. And let us work together. Let us work together in the assembly as we ought. Then number four, God has called us to faithfulness. God is calling His people to faithfulness. I think of the verse. I thought of this, you know, we come together here, we're celebrating an assembly for 38 years. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is. And how we can thank the Lord for what the Lord has done. We can thank the Lord for the victories that He gave us. We can also thank Him for the failures that we had, and hopefully we've learned from Him. Sometimes the Lord let us fail so we can learn from our failures. But now, what about today? We have a new church year before us, don't we? We need to forget the victories, forget the failures. As Paul in Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." We can't sit back and rest now. Oh, 38 years, we got a church, don't have any debt, church is paid for, congregations coming together and giving, we're able to have a pastor full-time. You know, it's amazing, people I've talked to in little churches like this, their pastor has to work a full-time job. Why? Because people like coming and hear a guy preach, but they don't want to give. You know, what a blessing it is that you are a congregation working together and giving sacrificially. But we can't just sit back and just forget those things that are behind. Don't forget them in the sense that we don't learn from them. Don't forget that we, in the sense we don't thank God for what we've got. But it's not preserved for tomorrow. Unless we forget those things that are behind. And as Paul said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth to what God has for us now. What does God have for us this year? If God gives us the year, we don't know how long He's going to give us till Christ comes again. But He needs to be finding us, watching and waiting and serving Him, reaching forth to those things that are before. And as Paul said, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I think of the passage in Luke chapter 19 where the Lord gave a story there, in which He was talking about the kingdom of God. He gave this where He said there where He likened it unto a man that had 10 servants. And He delivered the one of the 10 pounds. He delivered it to them. Even as, you know, God has given to each of us gifts. He's given to each of us talents. He's given us things that we can do to be a part of the body. And in Luke 19:13, this one that called those servants and gave them, and then he says, I want you to occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. We need to occupy. We need to hold fast until Christ comes again. I think of the hymn, Hold the Fort, for I am coming. You know, every time I sing that song, it kind of just the fact of recognizing, as that hymn talks about how we're going through trials and struggles. But the Lord says, hold the fort, for I'm coming. And the hymn writer says, what's the response? I can't think of the words right now, but yes, I'll hold it forth. I'll wait, Lord, till you get here. Because he's coming and victory is there. So, we've seen four things this morning. God calling a people out unto himself. God calling his people to holiness. God calling his people to serve together. And God calling his people to faithfulness. May the Lord help us to occupy until he comes, to be faithful, and to go on from this point, that if the Lord should tarry, that there is a place for truth for your children and for your grandchildren. Or will there not, or will there be no place of faith? May we be faithful unto him. The hymn that was chosen for closing this morning in this service was Channels Only. May the Lord use us, each one, as his channel. Pastor?
Thank you very much for that message. Let's turn to number 160 and sing that hymn. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Let's stand together. Number 160.
Thank you. you as a body of believers, as we've just heard about, something that God has given to the church to observe on a regular basis. And so this is for the church, and this is for people that are truly born again, people that have really been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, and that this is especially for them. And this is not how anybody is